To continue our series thoughts for Wednesday nights tonight on the idea of paying attention. And we want to talk about tonight paying attention to the coming of Christ. Now that may sound a little strange to some people when you stop and think about it. How do we pay attention to the coming of Christ when we don't know when He's going to return? And it's made abundantly clear that we will not. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42, where Jesus Himself says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." We don't know. Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, actually, we have here the parable of the 10 virgins. We're going to talk about all this here in just a moment. But notice what He says. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." How do we be watchful? How do we pay attention to that? Think about this too. Mark's count adds a little bit of a different caveat, and that caveat is watch and pray. Watch and pray. So when we stop and think about this, let's back up and just read a little bit and set our context. In Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 35, Jesus is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and ultimately the destruction of the temple. It was going to be just completely annihilated. All the archives, everything was going to be destroyed. And you note it here in verse 42, they were to watch. Therefore, watch. And notice what happens in verses 1 through 35. There's a recurring theme here. In those days, plural. And we see that in verse 19. We see it twice in verse 22 and once in verse 29. In those days. And He's talking about the events that were going to lead up to the destruction of Jerusalem. And He told them plainly, yes, you are going to be able to know when this time is near because of the events in your life and the events in the surrounding region. And sure enough, they were going to have the besieging of Jerusalem. But I want you to notice something a little bit different in verse 36 of chapter 24. It says, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." He shifts, as we would say to this day and age, Jesus kind of shifts gears a little bit, and He's answering another part of the question that had come up earlier in chapter 24, verses 1 and following. And now He's going to answer this second part here. And He says, "Of that day," very specific day, having to do with His coming, His return, He says, "You will not know." So we have to ask ourselves some questions here as we continue on. And by the way, if you continue in chapter 24 and through chapter 25, because the context never changes, Jesus doesn't leave the scene, His disciples don't leave the scene. And He goes into a parable. You could have almost, the people who put the chapter divisions in the Bible, could have probably just had one continuous chapter and you wouldn't have missed a beat. You'd have never even noticed it. It might have made for a very long chapter, but that's okay. We have others that are very long. But notice he starts out by saying, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them." That's what was necessary for their lamps to burn. They had no oil. Verse 4 says, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." The word "slumbered" there comes from the Greek word nuesta, or nystadzo. I'll get that word out here in just a moment. And it means the idea of what we would think of, they nodded off. They were becoming overcome with sleepiness. And they fell asleep because the bridegroom did not come at a specific time that maybe they thought He would. But notice what happened. At midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but you go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Does this begin to fill in a little bit of a picture for us? The idea that we need to be paying attention. We need to be watchful. We need to be on guard. In fact, that word watch there, I thought this was a really interesting take on it. The word watch here comes from a Greek word, gregorio. And it literally means, yes, to watch, but to give strict attention to, paying attention. Strict attention to something, to be cautious, to be active, to take heed, lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes you. So when Jesus said to watch, that's one little word in our English language. But when you apply the real definitions to all of this, you understand we need to be on guard so that we aren't caught unprepared to meet our God. We need to be watchful. We need to be paying attention. Paying attention to the signs? No, because we're not going to have any. But paying attention to our lives and how we're living our lives, how we're conducting ourselves before man and before our God. You go on and notice in there, the idea is to keep awake, to watch, and to be vigilant. Are we vigilant? Are we living lives that are vigilant, ready always in case that day is now? You know, the reality is, none of us may see tomorrow come around. Why? Because if today is the Lord, is the day that God has chosen, we're all going to miss tomorrow morning. We're all going to miss it because it's not going to happen. So we do need to be vigilant. We need to be on guard. And when I look at this parable here of the wise and the foolish virgins, notice what happens at the end of this. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. Boy, what a sad commentary to hear on the judgment day. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. What a sad commentary that would be to spend our life on this earth in times where it's difficult and it's challenging. And listen, Brother Mike in class pointed out something, that we live in a very perverse age. And what happened yesterday in Uvalde in that school, that was sick. That was perverse. But folks, it is a sign of what happens when a society takes God out of everything. It's exactly what's going to happen. And my wife and I, Tony and I, were talking just right after we had started learning about these things and talking about when we grew up. It was not an uncommon thing. And she grew up in a small town, and more so commonly to her than to me. But you would go to school and they had, you had somebody's 30-30 in the back window of their truck in their gun rack. Common every day. You saw it every day driving through town. Even Austin back then, you say that was a common thing. And we didn't see the perverse mess that we have today. Folks, we need to be watchful. We need to be on guard because, folks, we don't know when that day of accounting is going to come. Even if tomorrow is not the judgment day or tonight the judgment day, there's no promise that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I better be ready because it's going to be a sad situation for me if I am not. But he goes on here and notice again what we noticed here. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We don't know that time. And when I look at this, I look at two different aspects here. The five wise were ready. They were ready to go. They have plenty of oil for the lamp. The foolish didn't have any, had to leave and go to the merchant in town to buy that oil. And by the time they got back, it was too late. The door was closed. And I think about the difference between the two. Number one, how we ought to be in this idea of paying attention, being watchful. The 10 wise ones were prepared. The 10 foolish virgins were not. The 10 wise virgins appear to have an eager anticipation of the bridegroom coming. They're eager to, because they were ready for it. They prepared themselves for it. Everything was ready, and they weren't going to let anything keep them away from that feast, that wedding feast. Even to the point, I'm sorry, I can't loan you some of mine. You should have prepared. I can't loan you mine, some of mine, because then I may not have enough. They were so much in eager anticipation that they were ready to go. Just open the door for us. And they were ready to walk in. That's our attitude that we ought to have today. Folks, we cannot be asleep when we're supposed to be watching. It suggests the idea of paying attention, suggests to me the idea of diligence. Being diligent. That's what it's all about. Be diligent, because the Lord is coming back. How do we know that? Well, how about John chapter 14, 1 through 3? I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's pretty straightforward. I mean, you stop and think about some of the things that we have in John 14, in verse 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwelling places, as it were. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, what does he say? I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We have passages like 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 that tell us that there is going to be that day that we're going to have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. When Paul wrote that, when he penned that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, this wasn't a maybe. This wasn't a question mark in his mind. He said there is coming that day, and we need to be ready for it. You look at passages, and I really love this one a lot. If you wanted to, turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll pick up in verse 6 and go through verse 10. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day. That day. To be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe. That is the idea of all those who obey, because our testimony among you was believed. And we could go to other passages. We could talk about so many different other passages. 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 through 15. This world is not going to be here anymore. It's going to be destroyed. And that's what it means. We need to be paying attention to our souls. We need to be paying attention to what God's Word has to offer us. We need to be paying attention. And the question we have to ask ourselves right now, individually, I have to ask myself, am I paying attention? Am I really ready if the Lord came back right this moment, right this split second? If he came back, would I be ready, or would I be like the five foolish virgins that had the door shut on me and told, I don't know who you are. If there's anyone here who's never been obedient to the gospel call, never put your Lord and Savior on a baptism, ask a simple question. Simple question. Are you ready? Are you being watchful? Are you paying attention to your soul's well-being? If you've never put your Lord and Savior on baptism, I'm going to ask a simple question. Is this, if you know what you need to do to be saved right now, if you have heard the Word of God preached and proclaimed, if you have believed with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you're ready to repent of your sins, if you're ready to confess His name before men, then why tarriest thou? What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and have your sins washed away. You think about that for a moment. That's where our sins are washed away, in baptism. We ask a simple question, can we help you do that tonight if you're in that position? Maybe it is a case that you're a child of God, and it's so easy in the world that is around us today. We have so many distractions. We have so many things bombarding us from every angle in this world that we can lose sight and we can lose focus on paying attention to our soul. And am I ready for the coming of my Lord? And maybe that's happened to you. It can happen easily in this world. And if you need to respond to that in any way, won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?